Our meditation today is in Psalm 59. Please turn there with me. We see the superscription here is once again dedicated to the chief musician, set to "Do Not Destroy," and we had that explanation a few weeks ago. It is a miktam, or a meditation of David, and we have the occasion set down here. When Saul sent men, and they watched the house in order to kill him. Many of us know this story. Well, let's read that. Holy Spirit moved David to write, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold, you therefore, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressors." Selah. "At evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips, for they say, 'Who hears?' But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, his strength. For God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth." Selah. "And at evening they return, they growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy." Well, this psalm is with a group of psalms written, some of them around the same time, but with the same original occasion: persecution by Saul. Persecution that David did not deserve. Persecution because he, David, was being used by God, and it was evident that he was the one of whom Samuel spoke to Saul when Samuel said that the kingdom's being taken away from you and given to another man better than you. This is the anointed of God. Saul could see it. And Saul resented it. Saul hated it and hated him, because ultimately he hated God. He hated God's Messiah, of whom David was the representative. And so it was that Saul had sent men, henchmen, to murder David in his own bed at his own house. And the plan was to sneak in the morning and get him while he was still in bed. But somehow or another, David had found out. Somehow or another, well, his wife Michal, who was the daughter of Saul, had found out and told her husband. And what had happened was, David put a dummy in the bed, and he snuck out during the night when he wasn't seen, and headed out for safety, and didn't get to see Michal again for years. But he was persecuted because he was the true anointed one of God. In here, David, of course, moved by the Holy Spirit, talks about the persecution that he's receiving, and it's hellish. It's demonic, really. He talks about and cries out to God for deliverance and for judgment upon the wicked, and finishes up there in verses 16 and 17 with his utter confidence in his deliverance, utter confidence in the one who will deliver him. Now, I was at pains to emphasize, and you heard me say it several times, that David is the true anointed of God in this picture. He is the one replacing, supplanting Saul. But he is not the great anointed one. Some of you will remember, maybe many of you will remember, that the anointed one, the Hebrew term for that is Messiah, or Mashiach. This is ultimately, as Jesus himself says after his resurrection, pointing to Jesus. Ultimately, this is speaking of the Christ of God. And so we see in Jesus' case, him being persecuted, not for any evil that he had done, not for any sin that he had committed, but because he was the true anointed of God, far more really, far more truly than his physical ancestor David. And because he was the anointed of God, he was hated for that. And he was persecuted successfully all the way to being accursed there on the cross. But not for himself and not for his own sin. He was perfectly righteous. He was the proper and spotless offering and the fully qualified, perfect high priest. He earned righteousness for his people. He died atoningly for his people. And so it was that he has brought them out of judgment, brought them out of this persecution which his forefather David experienced. David's deliverance came because of what Christ would do. Our deliverance comes about because of what Christ has done. Jesus here also speaks through David of that which will come upon those who will not have him, who will not allow him to reign over them. They have destruction as their portion. They will be consumed. And Jesus often spoke of hell and of judgment. So it is that as David says that he will sing of God's deliverance, he celebrates the deliverer who brings it. It is Jesus who on the cross said, "It is finished." It is he who says, "I am the resurrection and the life." It is he who says that he delivers all his people from all their sins.